Welcome to episode number 27 of the Weekly Leader Podcast. I'm Peter Mello from Sea Fever Consulting and the founder and editor of the Weekly Leader blog and podcast, and my usual podcasting partner, Pam Fox Rollin, has the week off. You can probably tell I'm driving right now. I just landed in Providence. I flew in from Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I was participating yesterday in the first U.S. Coast Guard Pod Camp. First annual U.S. Coast Guard Pod Camp, I should say, because I think they have hopes of making this a recurring event each year. It was attached to a larger event called the U.S. Coast Guard's Innovation Expo. Quite a number of people attending that event at the Virginia Beach Convention Center. It was great because I got to meet in person a number of people I've been building relationships online with for the past few years. And if you're going to attend a Pod Camp, obviously you're going to learn a lot. The other major benefit, if not more important than learning a lot, is to actually spend some face-to-face time with people that you might only know online. So from that perspective, it was absolutely fantastic. Our weekly leader colleague, Mario Vitoni, was there, so we had a nice dinner last night, and he participated in a discussion with us. I'll talk about it in a second. I did a presentation on podcasting basics, and there was another presentation that was prearranged, and that was the TSA's blogger Bob. It was fascinating to listen to him talk about what he does and how it's helped manage the online reputation and brand of the TSA, which they have, you know, quite a challenge there. And I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I think there's so much to learn from it. So if you ever have the opportunity to see him speak and learn about how the TSA manages their blog, definitely take it up. We, at the end of the podcast, sat around a table and had a free-ranging discussion about leadership and social media in the Coast Guard. So let's give it a listen. So this week, we have a special episode of Weekly Leader. We're at the Coast Guard Pod Camp down here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I'm with my colleague, Mario Vitoni.
Hey, all the cool kids are here.
Definitely. So we thought it would be good to introduce all of the people that are sitting around the table right now. We're going to have a little round table, talk a little bit about leadership and social media and the Coast Guard. So, Darren, why don't you start?
Yeah, Darren Lewis, U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, flotilla76.org.
My name is Katie Hood. I work at the Coast Guard Aviation Logistics Center in Elizabeth City.
And Katie's attributed to the Weekly Leader with one of our famous posts about Twitter. Tell
yes,
people
I did.
What that was.
I'm a big fan, and one day, I don't know if you all remember, when Ashton Kutcher had that challenge with CNN to get 1 million followers, and I tweeted that that's leadership, and Peter Mello challenged me to prove that to him, and I ended up writing a kind of cool guest post, which is a real pleasure for me, and an interesting experience, but you can go look back in the archives, and it's there.
We'll have a link to it in the show notes, too.
Steve Flowers worked at the Coast Guard Performance Technology Center in Yorktown, Virginia.
I'm Peter Stinson. I'm an organizational performance consultant with the Coast Guard. I'm an internal leadership and management consultant.
Hi, Dr. Kathy Nash, and I work in Main Street Towers, downtown Norfolk, Virginia, for the Coast Guard.
Hi, my name is Commander Dan Taylor. I'm the Coast Guard's Acquisition Director, and I'm the project manager for an acquisition called the Coast Guard Logistics Information Management System.
And my name is Ben Strong from Amver.com, and I'm one of the co-founders with Kathy and Peter of PodCamp U.S. Coast Guard.
So why don't we just start out just talking a little bit about that today. What happened here today?
Wow. what a day. I had no idea what was going to happen ahead of time, and my co-founding colleagues, I started out a little nervous. We decided that it would be a good idea to have a PodCamp for the Coast Guard. The Commandant has been pretty forward in using social media, and there are a lot of social media users in the Coast Guard, and we thought it would be nice to collectively get together during the Innovation Expo. They kind of go hand in hand, talk about what we know, share what we know, but I also thought it was important to bring in people that perhaps didn't know what they know, you know, and raise questions. How do I do this? How can I optimize that? What is Twitter? And I think it was successful. We had a good turnout, and people did ask questions, and there was a lot of collaboration. I'm very pleased with how things turned out.
And this actually built on something we did last year. Last year we did a half a day or something like that that was more, what's the word I'm looking for? It was wasn't quite as structured, although this was an unconference, so there wasn't much structure here either. But this was nice because it expanded. We're a full day, and we'll go next year, too.
Absolutely. Tampa. Yeah, look forward to this repeating.
And the most interesting thing, I think, is even with our group, we were a diverse group of people, and we were very geographically spread out in the Coast Guard. Some of us have never met each other, and we use social media tools to put this event together. I mean, we've never gotten together.
We never did.
We never shook hands. I know Peter. I've never met Ben, but just out of using Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, we all kind of got together and shared a lot of information.
Yeah, we put our money where our mouth is, I guess. We used social media to organize the event.
Is the next one of these in Tampa?
It is. Will you be there?
November 2010, mark your calendars. The week before Thanksgiving, we'll be in Tampa, Florida.
Sorry, I got ripped. All right.
Yeah, what takeaways from today? Darren, you told a little story about how you use a blog.
Sure. Well, you know, the Commandant came up and gave us a bit of a challenge about this time last year, a little earlier. And, you know, I'd been a blogger for a while in my private life and my public life, but I hadn't really applied it to the Coast Guard. And around the same time, I was a year into running a flotilla, which is the kind of lowest level of the auxiliary organization. I had 60 people. And, you know, I was maybe 9 months into that. And, you know, I'd been using email with people, and we have monthly meetings, and there's lots of, you know, me standing up there and talking to people. But I was feeling a real lack of, you know, kind of the next step. I'd describe something to someone, and then I'd have to do it again the next week to somebody else. And, you know, it all rolls off my tongue really easily. You know, I've been a go-getter in the organization. I've got myself qualified in things. But it seems like, you know, you can't base the average member's experience on the experience that you know, your leaders have. You really need to go back and analyze it. And so I started the blog mostly as an outreach, you know, as a public affairs, you know, to our external audiences, and it almost immediately morphed into a tool to communicate with those 60 members. And, you know, I got lots of visitors from other places as well and people linking back, but it was really about talking to those 60 members. It had a couple benefits. One is, you know, it was a write once, share many times. Probably more importantly, though, it helped me organize my thinking, right? It helped me tell those, you know, I had to tell the story, I had to get it together, and I couldn't just lean on the fact that, you know, I could just, you know, throw out a whole lot of three-letter acronyms, and, you know, I had to start to explain things, and it really changed the way I thought about what I should be doing, the way I communicated, and it, you know, it added a lot to my portfolio, and I think we've seen some really positive benefits out of that. And I think, you know, as I move further in the organization, it reminds me to focus down at that deck plate level and what are the roadblocks to the average member performing our missions. We do really important stuff. We have enormous capability, and, you know, matching the skills our members bring to our mission set, you know, my core responsibility as a leader. And if I'm not doing that as well as I possibly can and enabling every single one of my members to contribute positively to the, you know, safety and security of the country, then I'm not doing my job. So,
Dan, you told a little bit about how you use your blog as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I started for some of the same reasons that Darren did, as our the acquisition project was in a transition as the Coast Guard took over the system integrator role. There was a whole tremendous amount of history with the Deepwater acquisition, and for my project team, I needed to boil down a whole 5 years worth of history down into what they needed to know to be able to move forward with the project. So as our team was growing, I used a blog on IntelLink, which uses a WordPress blogging platform. It's an internal blog accessible just within government. And I used this as the forum where I laid the groundwork of what they needed to know about what had happened as part of the Deepwater acquisition and where we were going in the future. And it's really become part of the fabric of the project, using the blog tool and IntelLink. And I used the same wiki tool that they use based on MediaWiki, IntelliPedia. We're able to use that as a part of the Department of Homeland Security. We've got that nexus with the intelligence community, so we're able to use that platform, and we use that as a way to collaborate within the team, within the sponsor, the folks that set the requirements, for the acquisition. We have used WikiTools to put together some of the documents that go along with a major acquisition. And it's really opened the eyes of some people that had never heard of Wiki or thought about collaborating on a document like this, and gotten us out of, in many cases, the emailing Word documents around. And it's fostered a sense of ownership when you're working on a shared document, the idea that not only do you need to either say this is okay or it's not, but when you've got the opportunity to say here's what it should say instead, it really helps build that sense of ownership.
So do you still have anybody who's on the periphery, doesn't participate with a wiki? How do you deal with that?
We've got folks that are on the periphery that aren't directly related to the project, aren't directly a part of the project team, that are also able to, if they stumble across, as Katie has, stumble across that blog, it's a great way for them to be able to sort of see what we are doing, fosters that sense of transparency. And it's also a way that I've used, part of Darren's right once, use everywhere. There's a lot of things that I've boiled down for myself and for my team that in explaining concepts to senior leadership, to be able to give them a link and say, hey, go to this and read up on it. It's been a great educational tool. The question of, I think what you're really asking is, what about those folks on the periphery that don't want to have any part of, and this is the part where I get to put on I'm the in charge guy. So one of the things that I've told people, no question about it, one of the things that you'll be responsible for is what's put in the blog. And when I set it up in the beginning, I guess about August of last year, my contract with the team was I'll try to make this make each post take no longer than 5 minutes of your time, and I've generally stuck to that. But I can insist on them taking that time to read it. And most of them do. It's a great way, and I know you've had folks on other of your previous podcasts. The gentleman from Local Motors uses a blog as a way of sharing things with his team, and I had the same experience some mornings. The first time you see somebody, they've read that thing that I wrote the previous night, and it's gotten their gears turning, and it really lifts the quality of the conversation sometimes, to be able to already know, hey, here's what the boss has put out as a conversation starter.
Great.
Dan, do you drive people to those tools? I mean, like if somebody writes to you and says, oh, I got a question about X, and whatever the answer is for X is already either on the wiki or maybe you've got a shared document up on Intel Docs or it's on the blog, do you send them to the blog or do you write a whole new email and handhold them, or do you drive them to that stuff?
Yeah, We'll personalize it a bit, but I won't paste my own stuff. I will send them to it. Part of the reason for that is that serendipity that once they're there, I've experienced people that thanked me a couple of months later. They went to the site right away, but they got drawn in and they decided they wanted to learn a bit more about the background of it. So I'll definitely send a link. Fortunately, within the Coast Guard, the Intel Link platform, from within the network, you don't need to have any other additional logon. You're already authenticated, so I can send a hyperlink to anybody in the Coast Guard, and that link they can get there without any further
transparent
authentication. Yeah.
I find this asynchronous element that I can do something, and that it trickles through my organization over a period of time is really valuable. Because my people, I have people who work, I have people who are retired, I have people who only do things on weekends. It really means that, that whole conversation doesn't have to be synchronous, right? It can happen over a period of time. It's really valuable.
What other insights from the day today?
I think one of the things I've been thinking about, two things. The first is that if leaders don't embrace this stuff, then the people below them will. And maybe not go and use it in the direction that's most appropriate or that's best for the organization. And that, in a sense, by not using some of these tools, you can get blowback. So I think that's one sort of learning that I had tangentially today. And then the other was the exercise that we did at the end of the day, coming up with a code of conduct for guardians, for people in the Coast Guard who use social media. And the fact that that's coming from the bottom up, sort of the antithesis from that other thing, which I think has a nice, it's a nice bookend. But I mean, it's going to give us, if we can get it right, it's going to give us a touchstone so we can know that we're using the tools in an appropriate manner that's helpful for the organization. I was thankful that everybody put up with me for that.
Well, you know, I'm learning that as good as the tools are for what we're using them for, that it's amazing is not the right word, but it's enlightening to see how difficult that is to get through to everybody, or how much pushback there is, because it's just so different. And most of the difference is about control. I mean, as an organization, lots of organizations are used to that whole concurrent clearance thing where I get to have a look at whatever you're going to say. And it's a new telephone. It's just a conversation. Blogs are conversations and wiki sites are conversations. But because somehow that it's in print, that there's a need to control what's printed and to get across that it's a conversation. You know, now, secure stuff to one side. You know, Interlink's a great tool for I can say what I need to say and not worry about, you know, public getting a hold of it in a way that they're not allowed to yet, or we're not supposed to say yet. But just that the conversational stuff, that I can talk to Katie on the phone about an idea and they don't want to know what we said, or how do I know? But if you're going to put it in a wiki, oh no, well, how do I know that that's right? Mm-hmm. And when you look them in the eyes and say, you don't know that it's right, and they just lose their
trust.
They just can't get a hold of it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that fleshes out, because they're just going to sort of start to have to get it.
It's that whole notion of organizational trust. And do I give someone the trust until they violate it, or do I lock them down until they show me that they can handle it?
Sure.
So to speak.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's partially trust, but it's also partially that there's a big barrier between the traditional and non-traditional. And the traditionalized practices and traditionalized solutions are going to hold the most gravity. And anything outside of that, and we see that. I mean, the PTC, we develop a lot of electronic performance support systems and non-traditional systems to support the things that people do on the job, and trying to get those established and institutionalized over the past 9 years has been very, very difficult and very, very painful. And we come to the realization that, mm-hmm. that there is a big barrier between traditional and non-traditional. And it's something that is only overcome strategically and with commitment.
We've got, I think, fortunately, there's commitment from the top. The commandant of the Coast Guard has got a blog. Much of it he writes. He makes no bones about there being guest posts written by other folks. But he's been out in the front of publicly putting some stuff out there that I think there are others who could say that it is appropriate, it is not appropriate, shouldn't be out there. But he's certainly given folks in the Coast Guard the green light to use social media tools to talk about it if you own it, talk about it, blog about it. We've got some pretty basic guidelines, but we've got that support from the top.
It's the ultimate in top cover. If you're doing things with the right intent, it's the ultimate in top cover.
But it's the culture that we need to overcome, not the individual.
Right.
It's applying community and collaboration tools to a community and culture that is resistant to it. So breaking through that, getting people used to it, and helping them to see the value and the ease of participation. It doesn't have to be difficult. Oh, I've done these things like this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a senior chief in the Coast Guard. You're not going to show me anything new that's going to help me or help me help my people. And showing people through example that, well, I think we can, and we'd like you to help us do that, is one way to help to break through that culture.
I'd like to add that I learned a lot about blogging this past year, mainly through Lieutenant Ryan Erickson. I'm in the field of education, and this past year there was a law passed, and it was the post-9/11 GI Bill. And our members needed to find out information. They need to find out information fast. and the initial date to transfer the benefits to their spouses and to their children was August 1st. And so what Lieutenant Erickson and I did was we put together the information and we blogged it and we got it out there. And the neat thing about it, the blog, was it was accessible to the reservists who were outside the Coast Guard firewall at the time. And several times I would receive phone calls from officers saying, I need information, I need it fast. And I said, well, here's the basics. If you go to this blog, you'll find a lot more information and you'll find links. And they would send me an email back about 30 minutes later and said, thanks, that's what I needed. And they went online, they transferred the benefits to their spouse and their children. And the neat thing about, on top of all that, is there was an All Coast that came out later on, and they actually put the blog address in the All Coast. And I thought, we have support from headquarters now. So that was very beneficial.
Great example.
It lets you address things and then have it job done, right? Mm-hmm. You still have to communicate the blog and, you know, get it rippled through the organization, but the core of it is then done. You have almost like a built-in communications plan, and you just, you know, you don't have to, you know, there are a lot of things I've just been able to check off my list, right? If the members don't act on it, then I have a longer-term issue. But for that moment, you know, for the majority of my people, that thing is, you know, check, done, go on to the next thing.
And for the weekly leader listeners, an All Coast is a service-wide message that goes out. So the idea that that the blog address got put in an All Coast, All Coast Guard service message was a...
And that it came first.
It came first. It was a, testament to the buy-in, to the usefulness of that tool. So that's a bigger deal than it might sound to you.
I do a blog, and it's more of an internal blog on the Coast Guard intranet, so not available to the public. And we really have a small audience. It's meant to communicate to our customers as far as what we're doing with the ALMIS software. It's the Asset Logistics Management Information System. And what we do is we're doing a lot of changes with Coast Guard modernization, bringing in boats and soon-to-be facilities, and our customer base has really grown. So in order to communicate with all these different communities, we decided let's write a blog versus pointing them to kind of technical release notes that we had. When you read it, it pretty much tells you what the system does, but doesn't really explain why the system did it. So for our leadership, they saw the need to maybe have a different communication method to let people know why we're doing these changes, what's going on every month, and what we're aiming for versus just seeing the system change over time. So I've been lucky to have the support of our people. And one of the things we first established, because personally I don't own any of the information. I did not make the changes, but I'm the one to communicate them. And our first rule that we agreed upon was no ghostwriting. I don't have to write what you want me to write, but we all agreed on a common goal and a message that we wanted to communicate and who we wanted to communicate it to. And so far that's been working with us. I'm grateful. I wish that sometimes the people that own the decisions that are made would post also, but I think, you know, that's the next step. I'm trying to be the example here and saying that, hey, this tool, this is what can be accomplished. And for me, I'm grateful when, you know, somebody from headquarters who has a question about what we're spending our time, what we're spending our money on, and why are we making these changes, oftentimes we're pointing back to the one blog post that explains what that last change was, or that last project that took 2 months, what was that about? And we're able to communicate those things to the Coast Guard and our customers.
Something that I found encouraging, and it talks to the culture of the organization, and in the Coast Guard, sometimes I think we're driven a lot by checklists. You don't get underway without first going through a series of checklists. We're very organized. Things are in black and white. We don't take off in a helicopter without first going through a checklist. And the whole idea of a pod camp, there is no checklist. This is completely unorganized. And you organize during the first 45 minutes of the unconference, of the event. So the fact that we were able to even do this, I think, shows some of the incremental baby steps of the organization accepting this new media or a new way of meeting. And I thought it was encouraging, you know, the fact that interference is the wrong word, but the fact that other folks didn't start calling or emailing or saying, you know, what is it that you guys are doing? And I need bullet points, and I need a one-pager, or I need a memo, a digest, or, you know, whatever the organizational tool of the day is to, you know, transfer information up and down the chain. We weren't asked. We were allowed to just meet and talk about these new media tools and collaboration. And I was kind of, I'm encouraged by that.
Well, it seems like the Commandant has really used this, you know, for a command and control culture, but no organization with humans really can be 100%. Really seems like, you know, the Master Chief of the Coast Guard and the Commandant have used these tools to socialize policies that need to come out. And we use that in the auxiliary the same way. This is happening. You know, the All Coast, the communication that Mario was speaking about comes down, and it's a policy document. But then they can use the blogs to socialize this and give us the reason why. And, you know, frankly, the reason why is really important sometimes. You know, this has just happened. You know, I may agree with it or disagree with it, but it really helps me understand it and communicate it to my people and make it happen. Actually make it, you know, not just get compliance, and sometimes we don't even get compliance, right, but to really push it beyond that so that people understand and bring it into their thinking and make it a permanent part of what we do.
For those of you listening in the year 2019, reaching back into the Weekly Leader archive, stop laughing. This stuff was hard. this stuff, you can't believe that we were having this labored talk that was really hard back here. And I think that's sort of the point. It really, this is one of the things they're going to laugh about. Man, do you believe how tough it was these guys to get to use the telephone? Do you believe how tough it was to get a wiki off the ground back then? I think it's going to be, well, we don't know what the business is going to look like in 10 years. We don't. It's going to be something else, or it's just going to be so much easier, I think, or so much more expected that that's how information's passed and how decisions are made and how collaboration happens. I see the airlines having a real tough time selling a plane ticket. But I also see a real advantage to the people who are willing to get on a plane. You know, and so I think it's going to change a lot of those things. I think people are going to meet differently, and that's going to cause competitive advantages and disadvantages. But it's certainly going to be not a novelty anymore.
Speaking of getting on a plane, you invited a guest today, a blogger Bob from the TSA, and I'd be interested in your takeaway from that.
You know, I wanted to have... The one thing that we're good at in the Coast Guard sometimes is just listening to ourselves talk and not necessarily encouraging input from others. And, you know, being part of the Department of Homeland Security, I wanted to, you know, let's get the Transportation Security Administration's kind of view on things. And they're in a really unique position because, you know, this one guy, Blogger Bob, is probably the second most important or read blogger next to the president because everybody has an opinion about the TSA, positive or negative. You know, and this is somebody who has to manage the brand, and, you know, anybody probably listening to this podcast, whether they be in business or government, is worried about how's my brand doing? I mean, are we still reputable or are we not? So he's got brand management issues. He's got crisis communication issues. Sometimes, as he mentioned while he was here, he was up until 4 in the morning trying to debunk the TSA stole my baby rumor, and he was able to do it. And then in doing that, got incredible, got lauded by the rest of the, you know, the media and the rest of the new media, the social media community, for being able to react so quickly. And it was neat to see what they do. I thought it was encouraging to see other government agencies, you know, really being able to reach out like that. And it was nice just to hear a story from outside our organization.
Yeah, and I was really impressed with the speed at which the guy who really is responsible for brand management at TSA, for routine posts, he's able to, within a couple hours, get what he's written, reviewed by the subject matter expert, vetted by two people senior to him, and then get it out there.
I thought he was going to say days, and he said 2-3 hours. I'm like, hear that, Mom? Wow. That was amazing.
Well, that's a real organizational commitment that's happened there.
Right.
And that didn't happen, you know, that didn't happen by accident. Somebody looked at it and said, we've got a problem.
Well, they see the value.
Yeah.
I mean, they understand that in today's world, you need to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're willing to change their processes in order to meet that. Because I'm pretty sure that there are other things that don't take just 2 hours to vet.
Yeah.
2 days, 2 months, 2 years.
I have one last thing. We had actually a demonstration of leadership today, and unfortunately he's not with us right now. But, Paul, he re-upped in the Coast Guard today.
Yeah, we had a chief petty officer of the Coast Guard re-enlist, and the fact that that this young man made it to become a chief petty officer, a senior enlisted member of the Coast Guard, is exemplary, and it was, I thought it was cool. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
It was cool to see somebody re-enlist. He's a chief petty officer in the public affairs rate, so his job is media and reaching out to people, and he re-enlisted here at PodCamp. So I,
and he asked a lieutenant to do the honors, who I think he had never met face-to-face before or hasn't worked with.
They connected via social media.
Right.
So the whole re-enlistment plan, having this particular officer, you know, swear this the chief petty officer in again.
Yeah, he had never worked for her before.
Was coordinated through social media. So it was a lot of firsts today.
Very cool. Very
cool.
If
they had done it on Skype, it would have been a little cooler.
It's hard to see if the right hand's being raised.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that boils down to one point that was made earlier, is that, you know, despite all of these tools and everything that we have to collaborate and reach out, I personally think face-to-face is still one of the most important social media tools. And we got to really see that firsthand with that re-enlistment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for making this a very special weekly leader podcast, and
thanks,
I look forward to next year.
Peter,
thanks,
thank
Peter.
You for coming
thank you.
Out. Nice
thanks.
To join
thank
us
you, Peter.
For this.
It's an honor.
The first Coast Guard PodCamp was a tremendous success. It was I had a great time. I really owe the debt of gratitude to Ben Strong from ANVR. He heads up the ANVR unit, and Peter Stinson, Katie Hood, and Ryan Erickson. I think they all put a lot of effort into putting this event together, and it was a great success. I know that next year they're hopefully going to do it again, and I believe it is the week before Thanksgiving, they mentioned, and it's I think it's going to be down in Tampa, Florida. So get that on your radar screen. If you're in the Coast Guard and you listen to this, try to find a way to get there. If you are in the Tampa area or anywhere, just you might want to think about it if you're in the maritime world too. So it was a great event. I'm sure next year will be just as good. So we really appreciate you investing your time with us. We know it's very valuable. We hope you will join us in the leadership conversation over at weeklyleader.net and let us know what you thought about what you heard here and what you might like to hear in the future. You can always submit an audio comment if you attach an MP3 file of 5 meg or less to an email to podcast@weeklyleader.net. And we'll find a way to integrate it into the show. We're on Twitter, as you know. It's at Weekly Leader and at PamFR. And I'm at Peter Mello. That's PeterMello. And all of our other contributors' Twitter IDs will be in the show notes as well. I always ask you to rate and review the podcast over at iTunes, if you would. It really helps us to get more prominence, get more visibility in iTunes, and get more listeners. So if you've done that, we thank you very much for doing it. If you haven't done it yet, we'd really appreciate it if you could take the 2 minutes it takes to do that. We always use PodSafe music from Mevio, and this week we're going to play a song we've played before called Liberty Jones. And again, we appreciate you investing your time with us, and we look forward to being with you again next week.
Heavenly Liberty Jones works in the shop that she owns, listens to music like swing when there's no customers in, drinks 'cause she don't like to drive, takes a siesta at 5, empties her thoughts out of sight.